Last week we were talking. We've been taking a couple of weeks, and we've been looking at one kind of snapshot of a moment in David's life where he was forced to flee for his life, run for his life from King Saul. Just a quick recap. Just remember, David is the David that killed Goliath. This is the David that, as a 15-year-old boy, was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the king of Israel. And David was famous throughout the land. They sang songs about him. And then David gets to this point in his life where Saul decides, I'm not going to let David usurp my throne. I'm not going to let David usurp my family's right to the throne that I've been given. And Saul begins to turn on David and begins to try to kill David. And so we have this situation. Love you guys. See y'all. Just giving you guys a minute. You guys good. I'm not mad. Just everybody look at me. Just wait a second. I want to get everybody's attention. I don't want you guys to miss this. So we have this situation where David has been anointed, and now he's running away from King Saul, running for his life, and he finds himself hiding out in the cave and finds himself hiding out in the desert, and he doesn't know what to do, and he's in this cave, man. He's living like a caveman. The Bible says he's literally hiding in caves with him. We talked last week, and so the thing that sets David apart from many other the characters in the Bible, aside from the fact that we get such a huge sample of his life, because we see him from the time he's a young teenager all the way through the end of his life as the king of Israel, but through the Psalms, we also get a view of David's inner thoughts, his prayers, his dialogue, and the songs that he wrote during some of these times of his life. And so because of that, we get a unique glimpse into what's going on the inside. Have you ever just thought, man, how cool it would be if we could figure out what's going on the inside of somebody's heart? Amen? Because sometimes we see just what they're doing, we hear what they're saying, but there's a whole other thing going on in here, amen? And David is one of the very few characters, probably the only character really in the Bible, that we really get a glimpse of some of the things going on the inside of his mind and his heart while he's going through some of the stuff he's going through. And so last week we looked at David in probably the lowest place emotionally and spiritually as he's hiding out, running for his life in the cave. And we talked about how, and we looked at Psalm 142, and we saw how David allowed his emotion to push him closer to God. Amen? Amen, somebody? It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to feel what you feel, but I've got to let those feelings push me closer to God, not push me away from God. Amen? I've got to let those feelings push me towards God's purpose for my life, not away from God's purpose for my life. And so David does that. And as David does that, we saw how David, God then brought David the right people that would later become his army and help him receive his calling. And listen, just let me, whatever your cave is, your cave might not be running from someone who's trying to kill you. In fact, most of us are probably not experiencing that level of a cave, but your cave might be the loss of a job. Your cave might be a family member who's lost his way and caused all kinds of problems in your life. Your cave might be a lost son or daughter that you're believing God to bring healing to. Your cave might be a divorce or something other thing going on in your life, some season in your life that's causing you to run, to feel like there's nobody there and you're trying to hide out and just get healed up. Whatever your cave is this morning, I want you to understand one thing as we end our time looking at the scripture today and this other psalm that David writes while he's in the cave. And this is what I want you to get today. Listen to me close now. In your cave season, one of the key things that you've got to do is you've got to remain confident in the cave. Say that with me. Say, I'm going to remain confident in the cave. Let's read. Psalm chapter 57, we're going to read the whole thing. I'm going to try not to stop and preach and not get too excited. We're going to start actually before verse 1 so we understand. Not all the Psalms, but some of the Psalms give this little context to some of what's going on, and this is how we know this is from David in the cave. Psalm 57 says, for the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time he fled from Saul and went into the cave. That's how we know it's in the cave because it says so right there. To be sung to the tune, Do Not Destroy. Verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows and whose tongues cut like swords. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. I am weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. Verse 7. My heart, everybody say my heart. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations, for your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time we have together to look at your word today, and God, to just come together, worship you, lift you up, and experience your presence. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, right now in this place, that your supernatural anointing, God, would move deeply in every single one of our hearts, in every single one of our minds, in every single one of our homes. Lord, I pray that we will not just hear some ideas and some theories, Lord, but I pray that we, as we look at your word, God, will encounter you, precious Jesus, the God of this word, who was before the beginning. In Jesus' precious name. Everybody put your hand on your heart. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know if you guys read the story. I was doing a little dig, and I came across this story from several years back. There was a businessman in California, and he was at his wit's end. He was an entrepreneur. He had took a big risk, took a big swing, but his business was falling apart. Sales were down. Business was bad. Banks were calling in notes. He didn't know what he was going to do, and the story goes that he was sitting in a park one day with all of this debt piling up, not able to feed his family, not able to take care of business, really just at his last wit's end, wondering whether or not he should honestly... The story goes that he was probably contemplating suicide, didn't know what he was supposed to do. All of a sudden, a gentleman showed up at the park, sat down next to him, and they began a conversation, and he somehow, you ever just meet guys and you just start spilling stuff out? That you ever had a conversation like you didn't mean to open up the faucet, but it kind of happened, and you're like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to lay all that on you. And the guy shared a story with this gentleman at the park that he didn't know. And all of a sudden, that gentleman looked at him and said, you know what, man? He said, I've been in a very similar place to you before, actually a couple times in my life. And he says, man, I just, talking to you, I really just connect. I just feel like you just remind me of me. And the story goes that before he left, the gentleman pulled out of his pocket, wrote out a check, gave the gentleman a check and said, man, I hope this can help you out. And the guy was like, yeah, whatever, thanks. You know, thank you, was grateful. But then the gentleman walked away, and he looked down at the check, and it was, to his surprise, it was a check for $500,000, and the signature was signed by a guy named Steve Jobs, before Steve Jobs died. And before the guy left, he said, here's what we're going to do. He said, I'm going to give you this check. He said, you meet me right here 1 year from today, and you can pay me that money back in 1 year. So the guy goes home. He starts to think. His wheels start to turn. He says, man, he instantly thought, man, I could use this money to pay off this bill, pay off that bill. But then he got to thinking, he said, wait a minute. What if I just put this money in the bank, or not in the bank, but he said, what if I just keep this in a desk drawer, don't even cash the check? He says, I use that as my umbrella. And he says, what if I just get to the grindstone and do everything I can do? And that way, what if I can make this happen and just hand Steve Jobs his check back? Wouldn't that be cool? So the story goes that the guy for the next year worked tirelessly, relentlessly. All of a sudden things started to open up. He got fresh ideas. He got some fresh business happen. And all of a sudden everything turned around within that year. And 1 year to the date, he goes back to the park bench, sits down on the park bench, waiting for Steve Jobs to go, has the exact same check, never had to cash the check, because he knew, just knowing he had that umbrella available, gave him the boost of courage and confidence to go and do what he needed to do. And sure enough, as he's sitting there waiting for Steve Jobs to show up, this lady runs by in a nurse's uniform, and she says, sir, have you seen a tall, thin guy with glasses wearing a black sweater? He goes, no, I haven't. He goes, I'm actually waiting for a guy that looks just like that. Steve Jobs. She said, no, sir. She goes, that's actually an escaped mental patient from the hospital down the street. He's been getting out telling people he's Steve Jobs and writing them checks for months now. And we're doing it. But isn't that amazing? But the amazing thing, thank God he didn't cash the check, right? But the amazing thing is that just thinking that you had that kind of backing was able to give a guy the confidence to go forward when he thought he couldn't move on anymore and to make things happen that he probably wouldn't have had otherwise unless he had had that confidence, okay? Now, before you, listen, that's a made-up story. That's just a total joke. Before you Google that and fact-check that, I just made that to illustrate this point, okay? So you're like, really? That's an amazing story. It's a joke. But we understand the power of confidence, okay? We understand the power of feeling. When you feel confident, man, confidence is one of the most attractive qualities in any person, man. And so listen, here's what we've got to do. David, while he's in the cave in verse 7, this is Psalm 57. We saw Psalm 142 last week was probably a psalm in David's thought process at the beginning of his cave season. This is most likely the turning, most likely something David writes and prays near the end of his cave season when he knows, okay, I've been in this cave long enough and it's time to step out. It's time to get after my calling. It's time to pursue this destiny. I can't spend the rest of my life hiding out in this cave. And this is what David says in verse 7. He says, in the cave, my heart is confident in you, O God. Confidence simply means being sure of oneself, okay? Being sure of oneself. Now, as believers and followers of Jesus, we really, our surety or my confidence in myself should come and really can only come from my relationship with Christ. Amen? Come on, somebody. If I'm confident, if I am sure of myself, listen, it's not because I believe Justin Bradley has some magical gift or that Justin Bradley is big enough or Justin Bradley is strong enough. My confidence comes from knowing my God is big enough, my God is strong enough, my God has all the power, my God has all the gifts, and my God has called me to do something for him in this kingdom. Come on, somebody. That's where our confidence comes from. Amen? So it's not just based in some theoretical space out there where I'll just believe in myself hard enough. No, I don't want to believe in myself. I want to believe in Jesus. And as I believe in Jesus, that gives me confidence. Come on, somebody. So David says, my heart is confident in you, O God. Now, this is what I want to say as we end our time studying these caveman prayers. Listen to me close. Don't let the cave kill your confidence. Amen? Don't let the cave kill your confidence in God. We've said this every single week that we've been on this series. Listen, just because you're in the cave doesn't mean you're not called. Amen, somebody. Just because you're in the cave doesn't mean God has forgotten about you. Now, God never brings you into a cave season to kill your calling. He, in fact, will allow us to go into a cave season to further deepen and awaken our calling, okay? But if we're not careful and we don't understand the purpose behind the cave, the enemy will use that same cave to try to kill your confidence, okay? To try to kill your confidence. And the reason this is super important, and I can't let that happen, is this. Because if I lose my confidence, watch now, I can still believe in God and I can retain my faith and yet lose confidence. And so if the enemy in the cave, if the cave kills my confidence, I might stay my whole life in the cave and I'll still be believing in God and I'll still go to church and I'll still believe that I'm just waiting in the cave until I get to heaven. If my confidence is crushed, listen, if my confidence is destroyed, if my confidence is killed, I may not stop believing, but I'll stop moving. And if I stop moving, I'm not going to reach the plan and the purpose that God had for me and that God wanted me to get while I was in the cave to begin with. Amen? So don't let the cave kill your confidence. And this is what David has to do. And this is what we see happening here. I told you guys at the very beginning, and again, I've reiterated this every week, okay, because I want you to get this. I think this is really important, okay? Everybody listen up. Everybody lean in. Let me just, so you're listening, all right? I want to just drop this in your ear. Listen to me, okay? This is probably the biggest example of David's talking to himself of any one of these psalms. And what David says to himself to get his to retain his confidence and to refuse to let the cave kill his confidence is just what he does. Listen now. In verse 8, verse 7, he says, my heart is confident in you. Verse 8, he says, wake up, my heart. Wake up, my heart. Now, is this a prayer and David's talking to God? Sure. But this is one of those prayers that David's just as much talking to himself as he is to God. And let me tell you something. Sometimes when you're in a cave, and you might be sitting here thinking, man, I know exactly what you're talking about, preacher. I'm in a cave season myself right now. I'm going through some cave moments myself right now. Listen to me. Sometimes in the cave, what you say to yourself is just as important as what you're saying to God. Amen? And if you're not careful, the cave will kill your confidence, and the cave will cause your heart, your what is your heart? Your will, your emotion, your drive. It can cause your heart to fall asleep when your confidence is crushed. Amen? And what David does, he says this. He looks at himself, praying to God, believing in God, and he says, you know what? Wake up, my heart. Wake up, heart. Wake up, soul. Wake up, drive. Wake up, confidence. Amen? And I just want to real quickly listen. If you're sitting here this morning and you're relating to me talking about a cave season, and maybe you're sitting here today and you know exact your heart has fallen asleep. You still believe in God. You haven't turned your back on God. You know you're saved and on your way to heaven. But man, your heart has fallen asleep. You're not striving for anything. You're not going after anything. You're not pursuing God the way that you used to. Maybe because or the things of God or what God has called you to, maybe because of some cave seasons in your life. I got real big news and I got a real good news for you. Listen to me, friend. If you're sitting here this morning and the cave has caused your heart to fall asleep, it is time for you to look at yourself and say, wake up, heart. Wake up. If your heart has fallen asleep in the cave, it's time to tell it to wake up. Turn to somebody and say, tell it to wake up. That sounded like a kitten that doesn't even believe that it has the ability to climb out of the box that it's in. So let's, like a lion who knows who it is in Christ, let's try that one more time. Say, wake up. Wake up. I felt that in the Holy Ghost right there. No, I didn't, but it did feel better. How? How do we remain confident? How do I tell my heart to wake up? I think there's a few things in this text that David says to God and to himself that becomes his caveman prayer that we can emulate, that we can look at, that we can remind ourselves of to help us wake up our heart. Everybody say, wake up. Here we go. The first thing is this. We're going all the way back to verse 1. David says, he starts out by saying, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. The first thing I think that we need to say to ourselves, if I'm going to wake up my heart and if I'm going to remain confident in God, I think one of the first things I need to remind myself or I need to look at myself is this. I need to stop mistaking the darkness that I feel. And this is what I mean. David says that he is hiding beneath the shadow of God's wings. Let me just ask you something. Just put it out here. Listen. What if the darkness and the isolation and the loneliness you feel right now is not from the enemy? What if it's actually God is protecting you and has wrapped his arms around you? What if the shadow you feel yourself in, and it feels like, and yes, it feels like the same darkness that is blocked out the sun, and the same thing that's isolating you, and the same thing that's causing you to feel alone. But what if that darkness you feel is not darkness from the enemy trying to take you out? What if it's actually the darkness of the shadow of God's wings who have covered over you to protect you and guard you and guard the calling that he has on your life? Amen? Don't mistake the darkness. Sometimes the darkness you feel is not the enemy trying to push you out or take you out. Sometimes it's actually God wrapping himself around you. Sometimes it's actually God's arms. It's the wings of the Father, David calls it, that are actually girding you up, covering you over, guarding you so that the calling that God has to bring about in the cave can come to full fruition. Amen, somebody. So the first thing I want to tell myself is this. Listen, the darkness side, listen, I can only tell this to myself if it's true, okay? So if I have put my trust and my faith in God, if I have run to him for my rescue, if I'm not running to other stuff, if I'm not running to ungodly relationships, if I'm not running to other things to try to fill that need and try to find a place of refuge, if I am running to God and the things of God in that cave of Adullam, guess what? The darkness you feel is the shadow of God's wings. Remind yourself of that. Amen? I'm protected. I'm under the shadow of God's wings. And I may feel isolated right now. I may feel lonely right now. I may feel like there's nobody there right now. But that's because God has his hand on my life. Amen? Tell yourself that. Don't mistake the shadow of the Almighty. The second thing is this. This is something we got to remind ourselves of. Verse 2. David says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. When I'm in a cave and my heart is asleep and I feel like my confidence is crushed, then I need to look at myself and remind myself, God is fulfilling his purpose for my life in Jesus' name. Amen. You got Philippians chapter 1. You can put it up there for me. Throw that up on the screen. Philippians chapter 1. Do we have it? There it is. Look at this. This is Paul talking in the New Testament. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. How many know that's a good scripture you need to tell yourself once in a while? Amen. When you're in a cave and your heart is asleep and your confidence is crushed, pull this bad boy out and remind yourself, the same God who began his work in me, he will certainly complete it. David said it that way. He said it. God will fulfill his purpose for me. I got news for you, friend. God will, he is, and he is going to continue to fulfill his purpose for your life. Amen. Sometimes I need to remind myself of that. I need to speak that over myself. Too many times we get in the cave, we get in a dark season, we get isolated, and I don't know about you, but I've definitely had the thoughts and I've had the conversation with myself, oh, it's over now. This is it. Anybody ever thought that? This is it. I'm not getting out of this one. God, I've done messed it up. God, I've done jacked it up. God, I don't know if you can come through on this one or not. As if God is somehow sweating in heaven going, man, Bradley, you have really got yourself in a position. This is God we're talking about. I got news for you. Listen, guys. Listen. I'll say most just to be nice, but it's all of us. But I'll say most just to make you feel like your problems are bigger than everybody else's if you need to. But just know that I mean to say all, but I'll say most. But I mean all. But I'll say most. But I mean all. But most of us, our problems don't even get God off the throne. You understand what I'm saying? Like God's not sitting on the throne and we go through something and he's like, whoa, what's going on down there? I wasn't ready for that. Amen? Now, I know we all want to think when we're going through the cave, when we're going through our stuff, we all want to think that our stuff is the biggest stuff in the world. no one has ever gone through this. No one has ever dealt with this. No one has ever come through this. Listen to me. I guarantee you right now, if you were to go around this room, we all began to lay our problems out there, or we began to just talk about some of the things God's brought us through. Guess what? You'll hear that God has brought each and every one of us. Let me just say it this way. I almost bet you that no matter what you're going through right now, there's someone in this room today that has watched God bring them through it. And he's still working. And he will fulfill his purpose for me. Amen? Why don't you just say that? Say, God will fulfill his purpose for me. Doesn't that feel good? Man, my confidence, that squared my shoulders up just saying that right now. Amen, somebody? Another thing David says here, he's praying, but he's talking to himself here. Verse 4 and 5, he says, I'm surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows and whose tongues cut like swords. He's like, man, I got some ugly, mean people trying to take me out. Verse 5, he says, be exalted. You know what exalted means? Exalted means lifted up, lifted high, raised up. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. You know what he's basically saying there? He's saying, look, I got these big, snarling, sharp-toothed people trying to kill me, trying to take me out. Outside this cave right now, they're enemies. And literally, as David's praying this and David's writing this, if you read the story in 1 Samuel, Saul and his army are literally going from cave to cave, house to house, through the desert, through the wilderness, and they are trying to find out where David is. In fact, there's even a couple of funny stories in this moment. There's actually a story. The Bible says at one point, David and his men are hiding in a cave and Saul and his men come into the same cave. And the Bible says Saul goes to the corner to relieve himself. This is in the Bible. That's what it says. Saul goes to relieve himself in the cave and David sneaks up behind him with knife in hand, has an opportunity to kill Saul, which would completely make sense and be completely justified, except David recognized that even though Saul was trying to kill me, he was still the man that God had positioned in authority. And he said, I'm not going to make myself king. I'm going to wait and let God make me. Come on, somebody. David said, what David was saying is, God, you're going to fulfill your purpose for me. I'm not going to fulfill my purpose for me. I'm going to let you do it. But David did, you know, just to kind of, you know, for whatever reason, call it a prank, call it just to show Saul he wasn't trying to kill him. Bible says he snuck up behind Saul. This is amazing, like amazing pickpocket skills. Saul is using the bathroom and David sneaks up behind him. The Bible says he cuts off a piece of Saul's cloak, sneaks away undetected. Saul and his men leave the cave, and the Bible says David steps out of the cave and says, yo, Saul, I got a piece of your garment here. I could have killed you, but I didn't. Back off. That's what's going on, right? Okay. So not only is David a poet, not only is David a psalmist, not only is David a fierce fighter, he's also an amazing magician. You know what I mean? Like pickpocket level skills, okay? And so, oh my gosh, David's way more skilled than I am, because that's what would have happened if I tried that. I don't know how it is in your house, but like my wife is so awesome. She wakes up if she, and it's rare that she's up before me. Usually I'm the first one in the house, but on days that she's up before me, if I'm still sleeping, she's quietly walking around, and you know what I mean. Like she'll like leave and go to work, and on the rare time that I'm not awake yet when she leaves. Oh, I was gonna say that looked weird. I never even know she's gone. I don't have that gift. Like I wake up and it's like. You know what I mean? I'm slamming things, tripping over things. That's just me. And so, and it's also Luca, our son, our four-year-old. And I can be downstairs and I can hear his feet hit the floor. Anyway, David's not like that. So this is what's going on. These guys are literally outside of his cave. David says, fierce lions, enemies waiting for me outside the cave where I'm hiding. Okay? But then he says, but God, you're exalted above all the heavens. God, you're raised up. You're lifted up above all the earth. You know what David is essentially reminding himself of, and what he's reminding us of, and what we need to remind ourselves of is this. Listen to me. That the God with you in the cave is bigger than the enemy waiting for you outside of it. Amen? Listen to me. If you're asleep in the cave, your confidence has been crushed. Listen, I got good news for you. The God that's with you in the cave is bigger than the enemy waiting for you outside of it. Why don't we just say that one time? The God with me in the cave is bigger than the enemy waiting for me outside of it. Confidence is already beginning to swell. Amen, somebody? When you're in the cave, it is imperative that I begin to remind myself of this. I cannot let go of these truths about who God is and what he's promised to do in my life. And once in a while, I'm going to need to say these things out loud to myself. Listen to me. I need to say these things out loud to myself. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you kind of break that down, it's faith comes by hearing and hearing. And you can just scroll that on. If you want to build your faith, guess what? I've got to hear the word of God. That's one thing that God designed these moments for when we come together as a church family is for you to hear the word of God. But in your own daily life, when you feel like your heart is falling asleep and your confidence is waning and you're not sure if you can make it out of the cave, then listen, you need to say these things to yourself. Amen? Now, you don't have to do it. Well, I wouldn't recommend doing it walking down the street, you know what I mean, or in the grocery store, because you're going to be in a whole other cave with a straitjacket and some people. You understand what I'm saying? But get someplace, be in the car, listen, or when your mind starts to race, take that captive, man, and begin to declare, no, it's not over for me. God will declare his purpose for me. Now, I know you're thinking, well, preacher, can I just think it? You can, and that can help too, but listen, how many know that when you just silently try to think about something, it's very difficult. You it's like trying to herd cats in your mind sometimes, right? You can be trying to think about one thing to remind yourself, but then your mind's thinking about all sorts of other things. At the same time you're thinking, it's not over for me, my God is bigger than me, the exact same time you're also thinking, man, I don't know if I can make it. Those lions are really big. The army's too great. I don't really know. Those thoughts, and then you're thinking, did I leave the stove on? And did I turn the water off? Or then you're thinking, man, I got to go to the store and get. So when you're just thinking, but when I begin to listen, it's impossible for me to say. I can say and think two different things, but eventually, if I keep saying it, that's what's going to fill my mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's impossible for me to speak two things at the same time. You follow me? That's why the Bible talks over and over again about the power of the tongue, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. In the New Testament, James says that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship, a small thing that can steer and twist and negotiate and navigate a giant, giant vessel, or that the tongue is like a horse's bridle, that even just a small little bit in a horse's mouth this big can control that amazing, enormous, powerful animal and tell it where to go. That's what our tongue is. Amen? Come on, somebody, okay? So go beyond just thinking it and begin to say it. Begin to talk to yourself. Begin to take that inner dialogue. Let that begin to be what you speak in your mouth. Amen, somebody? My God is bigger than the enemy waiting for me outside this cave. My God is bigger than the thing that chased me in here. Amen? And then this fourth thing happens. It actually is exactly unspoken. I don't know if your translation says it this way. Some of your translations may have this little word in italics somewhere. And this is a common word throughout the Psalms. In this particular Psalm, you'll see it twice. You might have the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, or some more modern translations will just, in italics, have the word interlude. So hopefully we didn't edit these out. Put verse 4 up there. I should have told them not to do it if they did. Or verse 3, I'm sorry. Put verse 3 up there. There we go. So verse 3, he will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. And then you see that word interlude. So that's not what David didn't say interlude, but that's part of, if you were playing this musically or singing this, that's to the people singing or playing to know that you're not supposed to go to the next line yet. You're going to take a second. You're going to take a beat right there. You're going to let the music play. You're just going to be silent and you're going to pause. Selah in the Hebrew means probably pause and think about it. Pause and think about it, okay? So David, as he's praying to God and yet at the same time talking to himself, he says, he will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. Then he pauses. And then again, go to verse 6. After David has declared that God is bigger than his enemies, and then he talks about his enemies again. My enemies have set a trap for me. I'm weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. Interlude, Selah, stop and think about it. So I want you to see, this is David's inner thought. This is exactly how you and I work in inner thoughts, right? David in verse 4 says, I'm surrounded by fierce lions. Verse 5, but God be exalted. You're bigger, you're higher, you're stronger in all of the heavens. And then he's right back in verse 6. But my enemies are, I'm surrounded in verse 6. My enemies have set a trap for me. I'm weary from distress. They dug a deep pit. But then he declared, so can you see how anybody ever felt that back and forth, the constant? Right? One minute, man, God's not done with me yet. The next second, but I don't know if it's going to really happen. Man, God's bigger than all my enemies. But the next second, I don't know, man, these enemies are pretty strong. So David, in his pause, Selah, think about it. What the fourth step here, as I'm allowing the word of God and I'm speaking the word of God over my life and I'm building my confidence back in the cave is this. Listen to me. Don't be afraid to take a pause and let your confidence catch up with your faith. Sometimes it's not time to move. Sometimes it's time to sit and to reflect and to wait and to give the word of God time to wash over my heart, to wash over my spirit, to wash over my soul so that my confidence can meet the level of my faith. Because my faith is here, I'm speaking it, I know it, I know what God's word says is true, but my confidence is here. So sometimes I need to just take a minute. Amen? Take a minute and let until my confidence begins to, and then as my confidence begins to rise, then take the next step. In faith. Amen? Amen, somebody? Take a pause. Think about it. Let yourself remember. Give yourself space for your confidence to catch up. Last thing I want to encourage us with this morning. Is that I believe it's time for some of us to wake up our hearts again. I just really, really have felt that that's a specific encouragement and word for somebody today that you need to hear. It's time to wake up your heart again. I don't know what your cave was. I don't know what your cave's been. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Maybe been some mistakes. Maybe been this, maybe been that. We could all talk about the stuff. Whatever it is, it's time to wake up your heart. It's time to wake up your heart again. It's time to wake up your confidence again. It's time to wake up your drive again to go after the things of God. And this is how we're going to do it. Remind yourself. Remind yourself. I'm in the shadow of his wings. That's the darkness I feel. Remind yourself. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself. God will fulfill his purpose for me. Amen? Tell yourself. Remind yourself. Wake yourself up with the idea and the truth that the God with you in the cave is bigger than the enemy waiting for you outside of it. Amen? And wherever you need to take a pause and take a beat and reflect and let your confidence take, then take a Selah moment. Let your confidence catch up with your faith. Stand with me all over this place this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want us to take just a moment. See, why do I close my eyes and bow my head? I mean, it's really just a way to focus and let this moment be personal. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to individuals today. Even though we're talking to each other in a group and we're here together experiencing the greatness of community and family, family of God, God wants to work individually in your life and in your heart. And before we get too far down the road, because I really feel like we want to pray together this morning as we close our time and close this teaching series this morning. Before we get too far down the road, that I just want to remind somebody and let you know, the greatest heart wake up that you will ever experience, the greatest way to wake up your soul that you can ever know, is by allowing yourself to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. In fact, without that relationship with Jesus, without encountering Him, knowing Him, and receiving what He did for you 2,000 years ago on a cross called Calvary, when He shed His blood and gave His life for you and for me, without having that applied to my life, listen, you can experience some of these principles in the Word of God. You can declare the Word of God. You can do what the Word of God says do. And guess what? Because God is the designer of all life, these principles will take root and take effect in your life, and they will lead to at least some semblance of a life that God's called us to live. But man, Jesus also said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? So I can do all the right stuff and say all the right words and think all the right things and have all the right thoughts and say all the right stuff and even do all the right stuff. But if I'm missing that one thing, that relationship with Jesus, it's really all going to be for naught. And today, if you're in this room, the Bible declares in several places and tells us and teaches us and likens our lives before we met Jesus and know Jesus as if we were really sleepwalking, if we were asleep. Time and again throughout the New Testament, the authors describe meeting Jesus as a moment where our souls are awakened to the things of God. And today, that might be where you're at today. The Holy Spirit, God's presence on the earth, might be dealing with your heart. And if you feel a pounding in your chest, if you just have a sense, man, I know this is for me. Listen, you don't have to understand every little nuanced thing of theology and teaching that I'm talking about. But if you have an overwhelming sense in your heart that, man, this Jesus that you're talking about, that's what I need in my life. Man, I know I'm not living the kind of life that God called me to live. I know I'm not doing the things that God's told me to do. And I'm not really serving Jesus. I'm not following Jesus. Man, if that's where your overwhelming desires of your heart today, listen to me, friend, that is God literally reaching down from heaven, speaking to you and saying to you, this is your moment, this is your day, let me wake up your heart through a relationship with Jesus. And I know that's a thing we say in church a lot these days, and it may sound kind of strange, and it may speak like, what does that even mean? Simply all it means is this: I begin a relationship with Jesus by understanding and accepting that Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, lived on this earth as the Son of God. Jesus lived a life that the Word of God tells us that all of us should live, which is one of sinless perfection. But none of us can, because we're all sinners. None of us are able to fulfill the requirements of God's law except one, Jesus. Jesus came to the earth, fulfilled the requirements of God's law, lived a sinless life that none of us could live, and then took it even one step further when He not only lived and fulfilled the requirements of the law, but then He turned right around and He allowed Himself to die the death and receive the punishment that we all deserve according to God's law because of sin. So Jesus lived the life that none of us could live, died the death that we all deserved to die, and He did that all in your and my place. And today He says to us, receive what I've already done and given for you for yourself and follow me. That's how we have a relationship with Jesus. And you can experience that and know that today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, this is between you and God. I'm going to take this another moment. I'm going to give you another second. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to give you a microphone and tell you to tell us all of your worst sins or anything crazy or ridiculous like that. What I am going to do in just a moment is ask you to raise your hand. If that's where you are, and I know you might be nervous. You might be thinking, oh, man, it's a trick. I'm going to raise my hand to something crazy. No, it's not. But here's what we say. Well, why do I even have to raise my hand? Why do I have to do anything at all? Here's why. I'll tell you what Jesus said, and then I'll tell you what I've learned in my life. Jesus said, if you are embarrassed about me before men, I'll be embarrassed about you before my Father. What he's saying is there has to be some sort of public acknowledgement of what God is doing privately in my heart for this thing for this exchange to take place, this exchange of my sinful life for Jesus' perfect life. You understand what I'm saying? And that exchange, that acknowledgement can be as simple as a raising of the hand. That's how we do it here. I'm just going to ask you right now, if that's you say, man, I'm not serving Jesus. Maybe you've raised your hand before, maybe in the church a long time ago, you walked an aisle. Maybe you've done it in this church, but man, you've walked away. You're not serving God. You know you're not following Jesus. You know you're not really, don't have a relationship with him. And you either want to start one today or reconnect and begin again, begin afresh, begin anew. That's available to you right now this morning. That's where you are this morning. I want to give you this opportunity. We just raise your hand right now. I'm not going to count. Just raise your hand and say, man, I need to start over. I need to start again. I need to start fresh. I want to know Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Everybody in this room, pray this prayer with me out loud so you can hear. I saw a couple hands go up, and we're going to rejoice and celebrate with what Jesus is doing in our hearts this morning. Amen, Red Life Church. Everyone in this room, repeat this prayer out loud with me so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. I need your forgiveness because I haven't followed you. But I believe that you're the Son of God. You rose from the dead after you died on the cross, and you did all of that just for me. Holy Spirit, come live on the inside of me. Help me to follow Jesus with every fiber of my being from this day on. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and making me yours. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Come on, church, can we rejoice right now? Amen, somebody. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to move in every heart that prayed that prayer and meant it from their soul and raised their hand. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you will do more in a moment of an encounter with your presence than we could ever experience on our own. Right now, in Jesus' name, do what your word declares you would do, which, Holy Spirit, your word declared in Romans 8 that you will bear witness with our spirit that we have become children of God. Lord, make that real to us right now in this moment. Now, if you're in this place today, as you continue to just take a moment, take a moment of just inward focus or reflection, if you're in this place this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor? I haven't lost faith, and I'm still following Jesus. But man, the cave has killed my confidence. The cave has killed my confidence. If that's you this morning, I want you to know the Holy Spirit brought you here to hear this word today because he's telling you it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up your heart. If that's where you are, man, your confidence is killed, but you feel your faith rising again, and you're ready to tell your heart, you're ready to tell yourself, you're ready to say like David, wake up, heart, wake up, heart, wake up, heart. You're ready to say, will you raise your hand right now over this room this morning if that's you? I need my heart to wake up. I need my confidence to wake up again. I need to tell my heart to wake up again. Amen. Amen. If you raise your hand, you know what? I am going to ask you to do one more step this morning. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. Meet me right down here at this altar. The worship team's going to play. And man, we're going to pray. Elders, deacons, man, come on.